Cambodia is a beautiful country in Southeast Asia, bordered by Thailand, Laos, and Ao Lak, or Vietnam. Cambodia is a fascinating mix of breathtaking scenery, simple cultures and traditions, stunning ancient temples, colonial architecture, genuine friendliness, and more. Cambodia has a magnificent and spiritual past. The glory of the Khmer Empire stretched from eastern Thailand and Laos to south Ao Lak or Vietnam. The temples of Angkor, capital of Cambodia's ancient Khmer Empire, are a perfect fusion of creative ambition and spiritual devotion. Angkor Wat is still the spiritual heart of the country where people come to pray every day. Because of the spiritual atmosphere that exists in every Cambodian's heart, the country is blessed by God's grace, especially in its time of need. Over the years, since the 1990s, Supreme Master Ching Hai has continuously sent humanitarian aid to Cambodia. Over the years, Supreme Master Ching Hai has kindly accepted many invitations by earnest truth aspirants to visit their land. We now invite you to listen to an enlightening discussion by Supreme Master Ching Hai with our association members entitled Cultivate Yourself and Become a Real Human on May 11th, 1996 in Cambodia.
After the land of sorrow, the seeker of truth have entered the land of love. And then after that, he entered the land of silence. And then where in the land of silence he has experienced all the mysteries of life and death. There was nothing more left there to be experienced. And he knows what is life about and what is death all about. He doesn't fear death anymore, and he doesn't cling to life any more than death itself. So the disciple asked him whether that was the final stage of his achievement. As the master said, no. Because one day God took him to a higher sanctuary of inner realization. And that land, that place, namely, is called the land of laughter. Now you wonder why. After all this troublesome practice, we just end up in a house of laughing. So what is that? Do you believe that? The innermost, according to this book, so the land of laughter supposed to be the innermost sanctuary of God. Can this be true? The real beauty comes from inside. Sometimes some people are not very good looking, but because he or she was very, very pure, very sincere and devoted to God inside, then they look really beautiful to you. You just don't see the beauty even. You just feel that you're very attracted to that person somehow, and you just like to be around. And not to bug him or something, but whenever you see, you feel very happy, thing like that. Is that not so? And you feel very pleasant or very, very, very harmonized together. There's no obstructed feeling, very natural, no effort needed. And that is what a real beauty is all about. That's why in the fairy tale they talk about the frog prince, and the ugly frog princess, thing like that, after a kiss, they became beautiful again. Oh, after the kiss of life, after the initiation, after God kissed them on the forehead and marked the beginning of their noble journey, then they became prince and princess. But it's up to us to keep this noble quality and the position that God has returned to our destiny. because we could lose it any time if we stop there, or if we return to the land of sorrow, or the land of action, the land of mundane activities as it has been before. Now, after the life and death, mystery has been revealed to the seeker of the truth, then after some times of more effort and sincerity, God will take us to the land of laughter. That's where we have a lot of jokes, and everything is funny to us. There's no more miserable Buddha, and there's no serious Bodhisattva. Let's walk around. That's why when, you often heard that many masters, they have a lot of humor. Huh? And most of masters have a lot of humor. And they can laugh at everyone, even God, and themselves. And that is the landmark of an enlightened person. They have arrived at the land of laughter, because they know everything is really just a game. All right? But it's very difficult for us if we don't understand that person. If we're not near there, it's difficult to laugh with them. And if such a master or such a enlightened sage has to mix with serious or miserable so-called practitioners, then they suffer because they will be dragged back into the land of sorrow. And that is very suffocating. Or if they have to mix with the so-called spiritual vampires. You know what a vampire is? Dracula? Yeah, very famous in your land. Huh? They suck the blood of the living beings. And the spiritual vampire is the same. They suck the energy of a practiced person. Or of their master even. They just want to take everything, bone, flesh, and blood as well, for all for themselves, at the expense of thousands of other fellow practitioners. These people are actually not yet developed into a human standard. They're still in animal stage, or devil reincarnated. It's all right, the master might accept them, but it takes a long time for them to catch up with the rest. And meanwhile, they should just stay where they belong and improve themselves until they are better. You heard many things about fox, huh? Who practice in the mountain and become a kind of a magical being, huh? That a fox or a snake or whatever animal, might be tiger, sometimes dragon, can practice in the mountain somewhere in a very magical way, and then later in many thousands of years they can transform themselves into human beings or whatever shape they desire to transform themselves. So it's just the example of a human being who is still in the stage of underdeveloped sentient beings. They're not really human. They're not fully up to human standard. And wherever they go, they make a lot of trouble. They make a mess, and they make smell, they throw dirt on everyone. And they just mess up with every congregation. Because they are restless in nature. They are still animal in the human form. The story is not completely like a fox would transform into a human being, but it is rather a human being shape who has still a stage of an animal, of a fox. Very restless, very cunning, very low class, smelly, etc., etc. So don't transform yourself into a fox. That's the conclusion, okay? So I hope all of you in the future will transform yourself in whatever stage into a bodhisattva. And then we all go into the land of laughter and share jokes and look at life in a very funny way, in a very light manner, yeah? And that we can bear this together. Because actually life can be fun. And when I'm in private, I laugh all day long. You cannot understand it. Because there's sometimes some of the disciple or some of my friends, they come, huh? And stay with me for a while, or if I invite them sometimes, I'm always laughing. And I make joke with them, and they all laugh. And then if they are also funny, you know, they make joke, and then we laugh all day long. Sometimes I have dinner, if I have time, you know. We laugh about 3-4 hours until the dinner finished. And for no particular reason. Sometimes not a very funny joke. We just feel so full of joy and we laugh all the time. It's very rare to find some person who can laugh with you and who can make you laugh. So whoever I find, that person I will treasure. I treasure him or her. I keep it so I can laugh. Okay, I just tell you a little joke for a break. There was a guest who came into a family that he was invited for food, for meal too. But they didn't bring him a chopstick, just a bowl and food there. So after he waited for a long time, he asked very politely, you know, the wife of the host, please bring me a bowl of cold water. And the wife said, no, we have tea, you know. We have tea here, don't you see? He said, no, I just want to wash my hand. So I said, why? He said, so I can I can grasp the food by my fingers. Yeah. That's the trouble with, not straight talk. Some people are like that. So whatever you want to say, just say it. Huh? Just say, I want a chopstick. Isn't that more simple? Huh? Why have to do a cold water and then wash your hand and then take the food by your fingers, thing like that. Just like there was a person who went into the coffee shop, and then he ordered a coffee. But the waitress forgot to bring him a spoon. So he looked at the coffee cup, steaming hot, and he asked the waitress, isn't this coffee cup too hot? For the finger, to steal it, you know. So the waitress, okay. And then she smiled and she came in and bring another cup. She said, this cup is not too hot. I think it's no use. Whatever you want to say it. Because at the end, we lost a lot of time. Okay, the enlightenment is something from inside, but some people do think that is from outside. Okay, this is a story called the Golden Deer. This is a story of the Buddha previous birth, a long time ago. There was a very wealthy businessman who lived in Benares. He has only one son. His name is Mahadanaka Anandada. Okay. But this means a person who knows only money. This is a very bad name. Look at Ananda means bliss. Perhaps he derived bliss only from the money. Perhaps it's a nickname. Since he was young, his parents, they spoil him so much because he was the only son. So he grew up with no knowledge except from singing, dancing, feasting and making merry with his friends by the money of his parents. And when he came of age, his parents found a wife for him, and shortly afterwards they died. The parents died. After their death, the youth spent all his time with his idle, good-for-nothing companions and passed the whole day in drinking and gambling. As a result, his father's money quickly vanished and he was forced to borrow money from other people. He had no means of repaying his debts. He never knew how to work to earn them. And he never knew how to keep the money. Perhaps he wasn't taught the way of economy. Perhaps his parents were at fault too, because they should teach them how to be a human being, not to be a son of a wealthy person only. So because he owned a lot of money from different people, they constantly came to his house and pressed him. He was very desperate with fear and worry and did not know what to do. Finally, he decided upon a plan of action. He was very, very depressed and desperate. So he called all the creditors and told them that he has a treasure buried near the bank of the Ganges. And if tomorrow they would come with him, then they will go and look together for the treasure, and then he will repay all the debt for them. So all the creditors were very happy and followed him to the river's bank. And he just tried to search here and there, you know, and everybody following him, but he seemed perplexed as what he was doing. But this guy has intended to commit suicide. So all this is just for show. So when he came to a very, fast current place of the river, he just jumped inside. And all the creditors were very horrified and helplessly stood by. Nobody dare rescue him because the water was very swift there. When they saw that he is completely gone, all the creditors sadly returned home because they think he's dead, drowned, because he was swept away very, very far in a very swift current, and they don't see him anymore down the stream. So they left. But when his body, unconscious body, flew down to the river, passing a flowering grove and mango trees, forest, there was a deer who lived there, very beautiful and fleet-footed, away from the rest of the deer herd. His skin was shining like burnished gold, and his feet looked as if they were polished with lacquer. His horns were like spirals of silver, and his eyes glittered like precious gems. He was nibbling some tender grass shoots when he heard a wild cry echoing through the forest. Running down to the river's edge, he saw the unfortunate merchant's son struggling in the water. At once he called out, "Wait! Do not be afraid. I'm coming to save you." So he plunged into the river and, swimming strongly against the current, reached the man. And then he put him on his back and brought him back to the shore safely. But the merchant's son was very exhausted. Then he collapsed. For 3 days and nights, the unfortunate son was unconscious, and the deer nursed him and fed him with wild fruits. When he had recovered, the deer said to him, "Now I will lead you out of the wood and show you the road to Benares. But I ask you one favor. Please don't tell the king or any of his nobles that a golden deer lives in this forest, because they will come here and try to catch me if they know." So the merchant's son readily promised, and the deer put him on the road to Benares.
We are very happy to have you with us today on Between Master and Disciples. Healthy Living is up next, right after Noteworthy News, here on Supreme Master Television. May your spirit be light and bright with God's grace.